So on this New Year's Day in 2023, I was thinking a lot when Robert asked me to preach this Sunday. What should I share? You know, what would God lay on my heart to share with you? And honestly, like so many things that I hear and read, you know, all great ideas, it seems like in my life, come from other people. So I steal them, but I always try to give credit for them. And this comes from a sermon that I heard years and years ago when Dean and I lived in Franklin, Tennessee. And it impacted me then. And as I thought about what to share with y'all today from God's Word, I thought, this, I think, is what I need to share. And we're going to be looking at what it means to be called by God today. What does it mean to be called by God? Now, in this morning's readings, we heard two different examples from Scripture about God calling people. You know, the first was Abraham, and that was a really, you know, leap of faith just for him to pack up and leave and go to a place that God had not even specified. You know, he said, hey, just follow me. I'm going to lead you to where you should go. He didn't even give him the name of the town or the city that he's going to. And, you know, Abram answered that call, and he followed God. The second example was Ananias. And think about the nature of Ananias' call. You know, we think about Paul as this great apostle. We think about Paul and all the letters that he wrote to the church and the teaching that he gives us through those letters that God ordained. But Paul was a scary dude. He was arresting people. He was seeing that they were punished. I think Scripture even tells us that some people were executed. I'm not sure of that. I believe that's correct. But he was not somebody to be unafraid of. And Ananias was rightfully afraid when God called him to go, you know, bless Paul, lay his hands on him. And, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But two very different callings. One calling was a lifetime calling. Abram had no idea how long this call from God would take for him to be made a great nation. Ananias had a very specific calling, and he was called to do something at a single point in time and be faithful to that task and then go home. So two different types of callings. And throughout Scripture, we have examples of people that God calls. And I'm really grateful that God gives us these examples. Now, you don't need to write these down, and don't worry, we're not going to go through each one of them. But I'm just going to read you a list of different people that God called in Scripture. And I'll highlight just a few of these in the message this morning. But God called Adam and Eve. Their calling was be fruitful and multiply. It wasn't complicated, you know. He called Abraham. He called Moses. He called Bezalel and Oholiab. Now, those were the two guys that the Holy Spirit gifted to help design the tabernacle and all the utensils and everything that was utilized for tabernacle worship. He called David. He called Samuel. He called Isaiah. He called Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Again, to a very specific calling. He called John the Baptist from the womb. You know, that's really stretches your mind to think about. He called each of the apostles individually. He called Ananias, and he called Paul. There's more, but those are some of the ones that stuck out to me as I was thinking about this and praying about it. It would be nice, I think, sometimes, and I know I've wished this, maybe y'all have thought this, but it would be nice if God would speak to me and say, John, I want you to do this or that, okay? And sometimes it's confusing for me to discern, when is God calling me? What is he calling me for? And I confess that to you. But, you know, we don't have to be confused. We don't have to be worried about discerning what God's call is, because unlike that list of folks that I gave you, although I take that back, a lot of them had the Scripture to fall back on, you know, we don't receive audible calls because God's words to us, his calls to us frequently are in Scripture. And even when his specific call on our life is not in Scripture, we have his words from Scripture to help us discern, is this call that I'm sensing from God or not? So while it'd be great sometimes to have an audible call, I don't think God works that way much anymore, because he has spoken so much to us through the Word. And He's not a God of confusion. He wants us to be certain of what He's asking us to do. And more often than not, we can find guidance from His Word. Now, when I talk about a call, I want us to be clear. I'm not talking about universal calls. All of us are subject to the universal call of the Great Commission. We're all supposed to share the gospel, okay? I'm not talking about talents and giftings. You know, you may have a talent or a gifting that God has given you through the Holy Spirit to use in service to God or in service to the church, but that is not necessarily a call. Maybe talents and giftings are used as part of something that God may call you to, but that in and of itself, just having a talent or a gift, is not a call. So as we walk with God into this new year, I want each of us to be asking for God's guidance and understanding on how to grow in our relationship with Him and others, and for Him to reveal more of Himself to us and give specific direction and purpose to our lives. So let's talk about how we can have confidence that not only God will call us, but that we will hear that call. Because sometimes I doubt. Sometimes I say, God, are you really talking to me? Is this really what you want me to do? Well, it's a comforting reality that God promises in several places in the Bible that He will guide us, He will answer us. And two of these promises are found, one in Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Now, in that passage, specifically, the author of Proverbs is talking about wisdom. So this is wisdom speaking, but because God is the source of wisdom and God is the author of His Word, I believe that is God speaking to me directly as well. He loves me, and He will reveal Himself to me if I diligently seek Him. Another passage that is even more direct, straight from the mouth of Jesus, is found in Matthew 7:7. He says there, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. So if we want to hear from God, if we want to understand if God is calling us, we can have bold confidence that not only will He do so, but that we'll understand it. We don't have to wonder, should I do this? Should I listen? Should I not? I don't know about you guys, but this last year, in so many ways, was a very dark year for me personally, for our nation, just for the circumstances going on in the world. And it's kind of overwhelming. I'm coming out of that year into this new year saying, Lord, is 2023 going to be another year like 2022? What was your purpose in 2022? Been asking some of those questions. But as I walked through this past year, and the reality of my own sin was so present before me, and the reality of this world's decay just became almost overwhelming. I began, before Robert ever asked me to preach this morning, to think about how am I called at this point in time to be used by You, Lord, because I just feel overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. And so this has been on my mind before Robert even asked for me to preach today. We are living in the times that Paul described in Romans chapter 1, where the world that does not know God's salvation lives in ever-growing and stubborn rebellion. Verse 32 of chapter 1 states, although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That verse just highlights so much of what's been going on this last year. It's not enough any longer that people sin. Now a lot of people want us to agree with their sin or to endorse it or to say it's okay. So when I'm confronted by that dark reality and how we are kind of living in times that were prophesied by Paul, I want to know how to respond. I want to know what God is calling me to at this point in time. Well, let's be thankful to God this morning that He's got a plan to restore His world and His people. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in a Christ, that person becomes a new creature. And in Revelation 21:5, God promises to make all things new and right. The beautiful thing is, he also promises that we get to be a part of that process. We don't just sit back and watch him do it. He calls us and pulls us into his process of restoring all things and allows us the privilege to participate in what he's doing. There's an excellent book that I brought with me. It'll show you what it looks like, that I would recommend to you. This book is called Restoring All Things, God's Audacious Plan to Change the World Through Everyday People. And the whole book is very much about what we are speaking of today. It's how are we called to engage the world to help implement God's plan. He's got a plan. We don't have to figure it out. We get to participate in it. And as he calls us to participate in it, the world will be changed. People will be saved because God is working through us. So here is the question for today. What is a calling from God, and how do you know that he is calling you? Well, let's begin by defining just the word calling. When I was looking up in Webster's calling, it really led me to one definition and then pointed me to another for the word mission. But Webster's definition of calling says, a strong urge towards a particular way of life or career or vocation. Like those who have a special calling to minister to others' needs, such as pastors or ministry leaders. The second word that I looked up that was related to calling was mission. Mission had two specific definitions. One was an important assignment carried out for political, religious, or commercial purposes, typically involving travel. You know, we get missionary from the word mission. Well, missionaries are the folks who go on mission. The second definition for the word mission was vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread its faith. So, a calling from God is a specific order, if you want to think of it in military terms, that God gives us to live out our purpose in his world at this time. Nothing that is going on right now has taken God by surprise. So we are born and placed into these times, and each of us has a specific mission or calling, and oftentimes we'll have multiple callings or missions in lifetimes. Sometimes callings are short and specific. Sometimes they're lifelong. But God will call you, and it is our goal to answer. While those definitions, I think, are helpful, I think there is something that we need to correct, and I have thought this myself. I have talked to other people over the years that I think maybe thought this way, but I believe a lot of Christians think that callings are for pastors. Okay? Oh, well, that's for the pastor. But each one of us as a believer in Christ Jesus has a specific calling. But just because a lot of people do tend to think about callings in terms of a pastoral sense, I wanted to share one kind of humorous calling with you that's from a friend of mine. He's a pastor. It's not Robert. I didn't want to use his example. but this guy's name is James. And James was in the Air Force and not saved. And he was in military police. And when he was in Central America, he got saved and was led to Christ and began to evaluate his life. Okay, what's next? And he did not feel particularly called to be a pastor at that time. He just knew that he wanted to follow God to the best of his ability. So James was, I forgot this part of the story, but anyway, he was stationed somewhere and he came back to his home base in Idaho and was wrestling with this idea of, I know I want to follow Christ, but I don't know what that means. Do I stay in the Air Force? Do I do something else? Do I go into ministry? And so he went to his local church and said, hey, I want to serve, but I don't know how. What can I do? So, they pushed him towards youth ministry because he was young and all this kind of stuff. And he's really kind of a fun guy. James was a martial arts expert. He was in military police. And he actually ended up doing some acting when he got out of the service. And he was on Walker, Texas Ranger. So if you ever happen to watch Walker, Texas Ranger, you'll see James as one of the bad guys that, what's his name? Chuck Norris beats up. So he never won. He was always one of the ones that got beat up, But at any rate, he was just kind of a fun guy, and they put him in youth, and God blessed that. They grew, I think he told me, from like 7 or 8 students to 40-something in a fairly short period of time. Well, then he was sent to Turkey, and he got there, and he got involved with a chaplain and was involved in, you know, ministry there in the military. And he was coming towards the end of his time for that particular deployment, and he really sensed a tug on his life by God, but again, still not knowing what to do. He said, well, you know, God used me back in Idaho in youth ministry. Maybe that's what to do. He didn't know. And so he decided that, I'll just knock on God's door until he answers. So this was the Sunday before the Monday when he was supposed to either re-up or step out of the military. And so he said he went to every single service they had on the airbase that Sunday. I think he said there was 4 or 5 services. And he thought, well, I'm just going to pray. I'm going to go to each service, and I'm just going to wait for God to speak. So he goes to each service, and silence. You know? After the evening service, he went out with some friends, and they were eating pizza. And James said this was one of the most impactful moments with God that he'd ever had. He said in the middle of eating pizza, he had something akin to an out-of-body experience. You know, it's just like he didn't hear anybody else. He didn't really see anybody else. But he heard Scripture in his mind. And it was very short. It says, you cannot serve 2 masters. So he's kind of thinking about that and mulling it over in his mind. And because it was Scripture, he knew he should listen to it. It wasn't like just some idea that he had. And he's praying to God and says, what does this mean? Well, James had his career. He's one of these people that has agendas and calendars and plans. And you know, he had his whole life mapped out. And he knew where he was going to go in the military. And he discerned that God was calling him to some type of full-time service. Again, not knowing if he's going to be a pastor or anything like that, but just that he was supposed to give up these goals and dreams of his career in the military and follow God in some way. So he leaned over to the buddy sitting next to him eating pizza and said, I'm not going to re-up on Monday. I'm going to go back to the States and I'm going to follow God, and I'm not sure what that means yet. And I asked James last night when I was talking to him about it, I said, how did that guy respond? He said, he just kind of looked at me and says, okay. You know, wasn't impactful for him, but it was for James. So James, separated his service from the military. And I won't go through the whole story. He later came back in the military as a chaplain, but he separated from service. And God began to open doors that confirmed his call. Just one example I'll give you was he had no plans about where to go to school, about what to study as far as, you know, vocational ministry. But when he left Turkey, he did not have a school to enroll in. He didn't know how he was going to pay for it. By the time he got back to the States, a Christian university had opened up a slot for him. They said, when you get back, just come. Don't worry about paying for it or scholarships. We'll figure it out on the fly. And, you know, literally in about 2 weeks, he left the Air Force and was enrolled at a Christian university, and then his mission kind of began from there. And while he was there, he began to have an inkling of how God wanted to use him. So I liked James' calling because it was not immediate. Ananias immediately knew what God was calling him to. But somewhat like Abraham, James knew a little piece, but as he began to faithfully walk in steps that God gradually revealed to him, later it became apparent what he was supposed to do. And I think Abraham has had kind of a similar experience. So I think it's helpful to realize that we all will receive callings from God. And it may not come over pizza. It may not be something that is life-changing event necessarily. Sometimes God, I think, calls us with a whisper. Sometimes it's a shout. But all the time, you can back it up. If it's really from God, you can back up a calling with his word. You can test that calling against his word and see if it's really from him or not. Now, that's general. I want to give us some specifics. As I studied different people's callings in Scripture, I found five things that seemed to be universal. Okay? And I want to share those with you. All callings seem to include all or some of these things. Number one, the call rarely makes sense from a human perspective at the time of the call being issued from God. So, an example of that is Moses. If you remember the story of Moses, when he was still in Egypt and living as a prince, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he obviously had some sense of God's purpose for his life, because if you remember, he thought that he was in some way supposed to deliver the Hebrew nation. And so when he saw that Hebrew being abused, he stepped in and he killed the Egyptian that was abusing him. But then because of that, he had to flee. So at the time that God called to Moses from the burning bush, he had been in a wilderness serving as a shepherd for years. And I'm sure he had many questions during that time, like, Lord, you know, what is up with this? I thought you were going to use me to deliver my people, and now I've been wandering and living in the wilderness. And then God appears to him, you know, in the burning bush and speaks to him directly and tells him what the plan is. Well, from Moses' perspective, that made no sense whatsoever. He was no longer a prince. He was a wanted man. He rightfully thought, well, if I go back to Egypt, they'll probably want to arrest me or kill me. And he kind of argued with the Lord, if you remember, and gave him all kinds of reasons why he was probably not the right guy to send. So from Moses' perspective, God's call made no sense whatsoever. It was late from Moses' perspective. He was calling the wrong person that had the wrong skill set. Just nothing about it made a whole lot of sense. So calls from God rarely make sense from a human perspective at the time the call is issued. Sometimes we can look back and see God's providence and understand why he made the call at that time, but it rarely makes sense at the time that God calls us to something. Secondly, callings are rarely practical. We heard from Scripture about Abraham's call this morning. Abraham's call was completely impractical. Abraham was established with his family. He was already a wealthy man, Scripture indicates to us. I think we can infer that he was well respected where he was. And God calls him to basically wander, to pack up his bags, leave his home, and go somewhere that God has not even specified yet. And so I've got to believe that if I was in Abraham's shoes, well, I know I would have thought this way. I would have thought, Lord, you know, how does this make any sense whatsoever? But, you know, tribute to Abraham's faith, he answered God's call. He did pack up his bags and he just left. And you know that his extended family had to think he was crazy for doing this. But yet he was faithful and he did it. So callings from God are rarely practical. A third test is whether or not the call from God is achievable under your own efforts. If that call is achievable under your own efforts, talents, and abilities that God has given you, you know, that doesn't mean you aren't supposed to do that thing. You know, like, for example, Dean and I had been teaching in Awanas. Does everybody know what Awanas is? It's a children's ministry that, you know, teaches Scripture and truths to kids. We had been in Awanas for, I think, maybe a couple of years before we went to China to adopt Warlin. Well, I had experience in Awanas and in leadership, and while we were gone, all the Awanas members, team leaders, met and decided that I needed to be the commander. Now, they did this while I'm on the other side of the world, right? You know. Well, I got back and I found out about it. And one of my friends was joking. He says, you never know what's going to happen when you leave town, you know. So, so I got back. But I wasn't mad. I thought, well, this must be God asking me to do this because I've got experience. I've been doing some of the things they're asking me to do. So with God's help, I can do this. Well, I had some talents and abilities that God already put to use. And, you know, I thought, well, I can do this with God's help. But I think that was just an application of gifts and abilities and talents that God had given me. I didn't perceive that as being a special call. So if a call is something that you can do under your own efforts, maybe It's just your talents and abilities and gifts that God has given you, and He's prompting you to use those in a specific way. But here's a great example of a call that couldn't be achieved on your own, and that was David's call. David was called when he was a shepherd. He was the youngest son of seven sons, and in his culture, he wasn't supposed to be the first. He wasn't supposed to be the most important son in his father's family. Nothing about David's calling by God was something that by talent or by position was something he could do on his own. And in fact, David's call just over time highlighted how much of this was, you know, not under his own control. David's call took years, and it was obvious that it was God doing all the work that brought him from shepherd boy to king of the nation of Israel. So, if the call is achievable under your own efforts, it's at least suspect. Calls can be for a short or a long duration. More often than not, we don't know which it's going to be. Sometimes it's a specific call, like the example we had of Ananias. But more often than not, we don't know how long the duration is going to be, but calls can be for a short or a long duration. Then lastly, we have Ananias' call. Calls are more about faithfulness than results. Ananias was called to go do a very difficult and dangerous thing. And he did it, and God did exactly what he said, but there are many examples of people being faithful and not successful. So, you know, you can look at some of the missionaries in the modern missionary movement. And I forgot his name again, Robert, the gentleman who went to India. Yeah, William Carey goes to India, and he preaches and prays and works and has no converts, you know. But he was faithful to that call, and then later God blessed William Carey's faithfulness. So just a quick recap. Calls rarely make sense from a human perspective at the time that the call is issued from God. Callings are rarely practical. Calls of God are not achievable under our own efforts. A call can be for a short or a long duration. And calls from God are more about faithfulness than results. So these are five tests that you can use to see if something is a call from God or not. Now, if you remember the book that I referred to you earlier, Restoring All Things, God's Audacious Plan to Change the World Through Everyday People, this book, the reason I commend it to you, is it gives you examples of people answering God's calls and how these have been used in society and used within the church. But in the book, there are four things that I want to share with you this morning, because Dina's brother, my brother-in-law, Jeff, years ago, I was asking him about preparing sermons and messages and stuff, and Jeff said, well, you know, John, when you get to the end of a message, people ought to be able to answer the question, so what? Okay? So, in this instance, if you are equipped with these five questions to sift whether or not a call is from God or just a good idea that you may have had, once you've determined, okay, this is my calling, this is what God is calling me to do, so what? I want to combine that with what I had referred to earlier about my angst and my concern from leaving 2022 and going into 2023, and Lord, how can you use me at this time in society, in the church? And this book gives four really helpful directives about how we can live out our call in such a way to impact primarily our society, but it will flow over into the church. So here are four different ways that we can impact the world through our callings. First, find what is good in our time and culture that we can promote, protect, and celebrate. The news is full of bad news. I wish there was a show that gave us good news. Testimonies of people living out their faith, helping others, that type of stuff. But you don't hear that much about that. And the church and our society is in need of Christian cheerleaders, for lack of a better description. Okay? I am bent towards the negative. Okay? It's sometimes hard for me to be positive. But our society needs that. The church needs that. So find what is good in our times and culture that we can promote, protect, and celebrate. Second thing that we can do is determine what is missing in our culture and the church that we can creatively contribute to. So, you know, we're a small church, okay? And we're blessed with these precious babies. And as we grow, hopefully there'll be some other kids, okay? So, you know, because we're small, it's not something that is a big deal right now, but in the future, there's going to be a need for children's ministry, right? Okay? So that is a way that we could creatively contribute to our small church. Is for some of us, hopefully God will call us to be involved in children's ministry. And that's a really wonderful thing. And having been involved in it before, I commend it to you because it's great. I think the teachers in little kids' classes learn more than the little kids oftentimes. But the second thing you can do with your calling is determine what is missing and then creatively contribute towards that, whether it's in the church or society. The third thing that you can do is know what is evil, and I'm speaking here primarily about our culture. Know what God says is evil about our culture and work to stop it. You know, there's a lot of folks that think Christians should not be involved in politics. I disagree with that. I think Christians should be involved in politics to help pass good laws that mirror God's truths. And so that's just one example. You know, we know that our culture is broken. We know that good laws are being ignored, and a lot of times bad laws are being enforced. Well, we need to fight against that. We need to stand for that. I don't know what form that would take in your life or my life, but it's not enough just to be aware of what's wrong. We need to stand against what is wrong and for what is right. Then lastly, look for the broken places in people, in our culture, in our church, and then pray and work for restoration and healing. There's a lot of brokenness in our little community where God has planted this church. You know, drug addiction, bad marriages, abuse. There's a lot that we can engage in. And of course, God does not call us to engage in everything, but there's plenty of places, if we look around, where we can identify what is broken and seek to mend it. Now, these action points are deliberately broad because God will work out the specifics in your life and in your calling, and He'll dictate that to you. But if you are equipped to discern what a calling from God is, and hopefully those five things that I gave you about calls rarely making sense, rarely being practical, not achievable under our own efforts, being open to them whether they're a short or long duration, and a call being more about faithfulness than results. If you can use those five questions to weigh God's calling in your life, then that will help you to apply that calling in the four ways that I just outlined for you. So I want to end on a note of confidence. And honestly, it's a struggle of mine this past year. You know, do I really believe that God is going to bless? Do I really believe that He's going to accomplish His purposes in my life? And so as I was looking at, Scripture, one of the ones that has been meaningful to me this past year is Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Now, let's stop and look at that passage just very shortly. God will accomplish His good work in your life. It won't all happen today. Sanctification is a process. Sometimes God's calls are a process, like we see with King David. It took a long time for him to go from shepherd boy to being king.
Sometimes God's perfect will in our lives does not get accomplished until He calls us home or until He returns, which is what Philippians 1:6 is saying, that you know He will accomplish it and bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. But God is unstoppable. His will is immovable. He has momentum that cannot be stopped. And He will accomplish what He intends in and through your life, even if we resist it. The second thing I want to leave you with is God calls us to act. We can't sit by. We can't be passive. I mean, I guess you can for a season. But God will ultimately bring us to heel, and He will pull us into His intentions for our lives. And this passage here is meaningful for me as well. It's taken from two different places in Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that can be at work, that can be at church, that can be in the neighborhood. That is all-encompassing. God is sovereign over all things, all times, all places. And so wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're to strive to do that to glorify Him. And it also says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Folks, we're performing for an audience of one. I've heard that so many times, different places. We are working for God. We are performing for God. We are serving for God. And yeah, that spills over on other people. That's His will. But you know, we truly are working and performing for an audience of one. God's not going to frustrate you. He's not going to keep it a secret from you. What is your calling? What am I supposed to be doing? Just like Jesus promised, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. So I hope that that is an encouragement to you as it is to me, that you know, knowing the calling, it's knowable. It's not a secret. It's not something that's going to be hidden from you. And once you know what your calling is, as long as your focus is on that audience of one, working for God, serving for God, then it's going to be completed at some point in time. If not now, at the return of Christ. So I hope that in this new year that we will all give thought to what is God calling us to. And then I hope we'll give thought to whatever that calling may be, how can we live it out before Him in church and in society so that the gospel is made known, people are served, and loved in the name of God. If you would bow with me, we'll pray. Father God, we confess our confusion to you, not always understanding what you would call us to do and be. We thank you that you promise to reveal yourself to us, and that you promise to reveal our callings, and that you promise to give us spiritual gifts that will enable us to accomplish what you call us to do. Lord, it truly is all about you. And I don't have to stress. I don't have to worry, which I'm prone to do. I just have to rely upon you and act in faith. Lord, help us to remember this truth and to be bold and confident as we begin this new year that we can serve you and we can please you and we can honor you. Lord, we ask all of these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.